Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Repay their iniquity and their sin double, as they have defiled my land, they have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. Right before I bring them together, 1947, what's he say? I will repay them for all the bad deeds they have done. What happened 10 years prior to 1947, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah.
Holocaust.
Yep.
6 million Jews. This book is so precise. And first, I will repay them for their iniquity. He says right here in 16, I'm going to call them from all the ends of the earth and bring them back into their land. But first, they're going to pay for all of the sin. Double. You see that? Double?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
6 million Jews in the Holocaust. As they have defiled my land and filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. And then we're going to jump right here to the millennial time. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. God says the Jewish kingdom shall be set up as the head kingdom in the millennial time. And the Gentiles will come, all of them that are left after the great day of the wrath of God, and watch the Jews present their first sacrifice. Verse 20, shall a man make gods unto himself? And they are no gods. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might. And they shall know that my name is the Lord. Gentile adoption during the millennial period. Chapter 17. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with a point of a diamond. Wow. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of their altar. Ha ha. The sin of the people of Judah, not only carnal, it goes into the spirit world, written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. There's nothing sharper than a diamond. It is graven, carved upon the table of their heart, and upon the horns of your altars. How much more disobedient can you become? God has said, they are the most disobedient. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, all of their pagan shrines that they erected, will their children remember those? O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. Now even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I give thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in men, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I can't say this enough. God said he knew you before he placed you in the womb. He placed the spirit that knew God in the heart of man, because the mind is contrary to the will of God. It's up to the spirit man to take control of this carnal mind and drive this abominable flesh down the straight path. And apparently the nation of Judah is not. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Basically says, you trust in the Lord God, you will have no wants, no needs. God will take care of them. The heart must follow after the God, the original covenant given to Abraham. Follow me, the everlasting covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. The law was given in punishment. And Christ came to reestablish the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Circumcision of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Question mark. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. That is something only God knows, is the heart. You can have a man can come before you with the most pleasant demeanor and be such a fruitful looking person on the outside, but the heart could be so evil and full of deceit. Kind of like the Antichrist when he comes, going to come as an angel of light on the outside with a heart of pure darkness. Like during, I like to reference this, during the rebellion of Korah. It says to Moses, we've taken over here, see? We don't like the way you're running things. It's a big rebellion among the Levites. But one family refused to rebel. They refused to do the evil. They kept all the statutes. They kept all the Levitical law during that time. And God said, bring this family into the congregation and bless them. Give them that merit badge. Pin it on their shoulder. And a couple chapters later, he says, Moses, teach you a lesson here. Remember that family that I had you bring into the congregation and bless them because they kept all the religious statutes during that time of Korah? He says, yeah. He says, I'm going to show you what was in their hearts and minds during that time.
Right.
This movie projector came on and it's displayed right on the wall. Oh, Lord, that's horrible. Yes, that was in what was in their hearts and minds the entire time. You can't look at the outside of a vessel and know what's inside.
The word con man means confidence man, which is a person who projects something you can be confident in. So the main con man's on the way that's going to have those attributes that you just explained.
He is. You're right.
Yep.
Yeah. God said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. What comes out from the heart. You know? My bacon never hurt anybody.
Not a soul. I mean, maybe medically, a little bit, like, you know.
Yeah, in excess.
Yeah, in excess.
All things in moderation. That's what Paul ran around saying. You know what? Yeah. He's chastising John. John was preaching this, you know, the salvation of Jesus. But, you know, don't eat bacon and pork. And Paul said, you know what? You got to lose the religious side. Christ's sacrifice was perfect, but keep the pork in moderation. It's really not good for you. Yeah. As the partridge sitteth on the eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Wow. Somebody who deceitfully, like the con man Jonathan was just talking about, becomes rich. It's not going to get him anywhere. And in his day, he will stand before God as a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord. The fountains of living water, self-explanatory. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Neither have I desired the woeful day, Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. This Jeremiah making his own case there. I've always longed to be the preacher of your gospel. You know what comes out of my lips. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. He's repeating what God said there a little earlier. God said, go and tell them I'm going to do all this horrible destruction to them, and then I'm going to bring them out of all the four winds after I've scattered them, but not right before I give them double destruction for all their iniquities. And just it kind of hit home with Jeremiah. Said, please don't do any of that to me. Mm-hmm. This is basically what he's mm-hmm. saying there. Remember, I was the good boy. Mm-hmm. Don't do any of that to me. Thus said the Lord unto me, go and stand at the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck skiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. So he's telling them, you don't know God anymore, you don't follow after God, okay, you don't even know the law. Let's just keep the Sabbath. Can we do that? You know, I can tell you the law was giving in punishment. You follow God with all your heart. It trumps the law. We've seen countless, countless people within this book who were not Jews. They would come from other lands, and they already knew the living God. And they had the original covenant given to Abraham. They were following him with all their heart. He says, he's telling them, go stand by the gate. Tell all the inhabitants. God's very, very, very upset with you. You guys don't even try. You don't follow him with all your heart. You don't even try to do the legality of the law just to show him that you're attempting. Can you just try to keep the Sabbath? And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein. Then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the thrones of David, riding in chariots on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. How easy did God make it, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
He took the whole law away at that moment. At the last moment, before their destruction, he says, okay, I'm going to erase 99.9% of the law. All you have to do now, prove to me you can do one thing. Kind of takes it back to the garden, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? All right, Adam and Eve, this is your garden. Frolic around, do anything you want. Absolute freedom. Just graze around, eat. Just whatever you guys want to do. Just don't eat from that one tree. Just one law, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't eat from that one tree. We'll try. Well, he's done the same thing here. He's reduced it back to one law. And you'll never hear this in church. They don't want to turn loose of the law. God was just trying to prove to himself that somebody would at least try. I've reduced the law now. Go tell him I'll reduce the law down to just keep the Sabbath. And he's not even talking about the entire keeping of the Sabbath here. No, carry no burdens through the gates. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places of Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin, from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the plowlesses of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. He said there, this one time, keep the Sabbath. Prove to me you can keep the Sabbath, and I will create a revival throughout the entire land. They will all revive and come back to me. Or else, I will create a great fire and burn the place, which happened in 70 AD, because they obviously could not do it. How many times, Christian, does God tell you, give you another chance? Another chance. Get that sin out of your life. Another chance. Get that sin out of your life. Oh, now you're starting to have problems at work. Get that sin out of your life. Now the car's broke down. Get that sin out of your life. I tell you what, you follow God with all your heart. That car can run beautifully. I don't care if it's 75 years old. It can run beautifully all the time. You get 300,000 miles out of the set of tires. You'd be surprised what following God with all your heart can do. Oh, that's silly, Pastor Dave. No, it's absolutely the truth. If you have the finances for new tires, then you go and buy them. If you don't, and you follow God with all your heart, them tires will last you. Or when one blows out, one will come along in some fashion, fall off a truck in front of your house. I had something similar like that happen to me. Or somebody will just give you some tires. You'd be surprised the power of God and how he wants to bless his children if they will just follow him with all their heart and make an attempt to put the things out of their life that he wants out of their life. Because if you make the attempt, the Holy Spirit will help you. He'll give you the strength to do it. Maybe you'll fall back occasionally, then, and that's expected. That's not given the authority to do that. God forbid. You don't get to backslide on purpose on occasions. God will lay the rod to your back, Paul says. The complete freedom of Christ does not give me license to sin, Paul said. God forbid. He will lay the rod to my back and I won't want to do it again. But if you are aware of things in your life, Christian, that God does not appreciate, you need to put them out. Because until you do, the blessings of God cannot be as fruitful as God wants them to be. Look at what he said here. The entire law had been forgotten. There are a few that know about it. He says, I will set it all aside here. This is chapter 17. Is an amazing chapter in Jeremiah that shows you religion means nothing. God said, I set the entire law aside. Just this one time, keep the Sabbath. And if you do that, I will create a revival through the entire nation. One city. Just one city, keep the Sabbath, and I'll create a revival. And they couldn't do it because their hearts were so far from God. The religion that they had diluted it with other gods and all sorts of other abominations. Coming up, and I know we're going to get there today, but coming up in one of these other next chapters or so, God says, you guys are now worshiping things that your fathers didn't even know about. Strange, strange gods. New age gods. Are we seeing that? Mm-hmm. Once you open up your internet, mm-hmm. Look at all this they and them. Look at all this woke garbage. I just wonder, Jonathan, somebody's pronoun is they and them. How many demons do they have inside them?
Yeah, that's a multiplicity.
Yes. I mean, it's scary, buddy. Mm-hmm, and those absolutely. Folks are proving to be unhinged and dangerous. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. Please catch up. I dare you to go listen to episode 1 on WVFFradio.com. And it's always a pleasure to be here with you today and every day. And God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.